Hey, Ben.
Okay, so we both saw Infinity War, the new Avengers movie, and we've had basically a full podcast in text message format. So we figured, in the tradition of this franchise, let's just pick it up in the middle of an ongoing story. And talk about our individual reactions to Avengers: Infinity War. Sound
Are
good?
we gonna stop? Are we gonna stop the podcast halfway through and then publish the other half of it a year from now?
Tune in next time to find out what we thought. I'll do my part with what I thought, and then next time we'll do your side.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to say this is a heavily spoilable movie, and that's the first thing to say coming into it. But also, I think, as it turns out, the mechanism of preventing spoilers and withholding certain pieces of information about a movie, I think will come into this discussion a lot. Because I think it had an effect, it had a big effect on my experience watching it.
Yeah, I mean, let's just lead with it. I mean, I think it's safe to say that we're big enough fans of this stuff that this movie checks a ton of boxes on what we like.
Oh, yeah.
You had an issue with the ending. I didn't. I thought the ending was great. So I guess just kind of let's just go into that. Go for it.
Yeah, well, so listen. First off, nothing pains me more than to be having to take what is going to be viewed as the negative side in a podcast about a Marvel Studios movie, because I love these movies dearly. And I had a fantastic time watching this movie, and I love 99% of the things in this movie. So please let's just take that as read and not say that I hate the movie. But I do have a problem with the ending, in as much as my initial gut reaction sitting there in the theater when the movie ends was not positive. And I didn't, I wouldn't say that I was mad or that I hated it, but, and it didn't ruin the rest of the movie for me, but I definitely felt unsatisfied by the ending. And that was my initial emotional response. Without thinking it through, without having any kind of like forming an argument about it, just watching the ending play out, my gut said, eh, that's pretty disappointing to me. I really didn't think it was going to end so unresolved. And I think, Ben, our like fundamental disagreement about this ending is you actually believe that this is a resolution. You think that in screenwriting terminology, that this movie goes through the full process of conflict and resolution. And I definitely don't agree. I think that where this movie ends is very clearly at, and you might have to help me with the vocabulary here, but the moment in a normal screenplay when things are at their darkest and it looks like the villain is about to win before we get the resolution of the conflict, that's where this movie stops. And I've seen movies like that before. I would say that Empire Strikes Back is that. I would say any movie that ever starts with part one is like that. I would say the Two Towers from Lord of the Rings is that way. And I like those movies. And I don't have a problem with the fact that they end before the story's over, because I was told going into it that there was or the resolution was going to come in a later movie. But I think why my expectations were out of line with the way this movie ended has a lot to do with the way this movie was sold to me by Kevin Feige and by the Russos and by a lot of the publicity that they did for this movie beforehand, in which they insisted, this is, we look, we were originally calling this movie part one and next year's movie was part two. We're not doing that anymore, and it's because they're two separate movies. They're different movies with different stories. And I just don't think that's a fair characterization of what actually happens here.
Yeah, I mean, look, no, I'm not going to argue that in screenwriting terms that the plot of this story is over. But, I mean, in a greater sense, then none of it is. You know, the plot wasn't even, the plot started before this movie started. You know, I mean,
yeah,
we first saw Thanos
yeah.
at the end of Avengers. And we knew that the Avengers in that movie, they were the self-contained arc and character and thematic arc of that movie was, can these people, you know, get along to win this battle? And they did. And they won that battle. They've not won the war. And we know at the end of that movie that there's a bigger, worse battle coming. What we get in this movie is the total opposite perspective. It's a movie about Thanos, and this is his story. This is his movie. And yes, it does follow the traditional three-act structure where the hero, being Thanos, you know, looking for something, he goes through all the highs and lows. He has to sacrifice something. And then there's a moment where basically when Thor shows up with Stormbreaker, that's kind of like Thanos's dark moment where it's like, well, crap, I'm not going to get what I want. And then he ends up pulling out a victory. And I think that the next movie will not be about Thanos. It will be less about Thanos. So I think that that's the perspective that they're coming from. Whatever you want to call that, if you want to call that marketing or spin or publicity, that's on you. I think that.
Listen,
I don't care what people need to say in marketing to give me a good movie. At the end of the day, you can call what they say marketing or spin. What I'm saying about this movie and why I liked it is for those reasons. I didn't realize that this was going to be the Thanos movie.
They didn't want you to realize it. They didn't want anyone to know that because they would not have sold very many tickets if they said, actually, this is a movie about where. But I here's the thing.
Fantastic.
Though.
Look, Matt, we've got fucking 20 of these movies. And why can't they use their powers of marketing or whatever you want to, it's all lying anyway. Why don't you use those powers to give us something unique and interesting and risky? And yes, it's not all that risky. We all know what's going to happen. We all know that our heroes are going to come back somehow. You and I read comic books. I watch wrestling.
We'll get to that in a minute. But I here's the first of all, I like that your brain went to that place where you came out of this movie saying, actually what this is that it is traditional and it is a traditional structure and that Thanos is the hero. There's no way that I would have ever looked at it that way or thought of it that way. And I'm not saying that it's bad that you do think that, and I'm not saying it's invalid, but I don't actually think that was intended, and I think that might listen, maybe if we talked to the Russos about it, they would say, actually, Ben Stark is right, and that is what we intended to do. If that is what they intended to do, I think it is definitely unique and a bold choice, and I would say that I did not find it to be satisfying, and I did not, as a person who generally really likes these movies a lot, I think that it was very jarring to see that, and not in a way that I enjoyed. But I actually don't think that this movie is a movie where Thanos is the hero, because it doesn't feel that way for the entire running time until the very ending. I think that the structure, I think that that explanation only works when you're sitting in the theater seat at the end of the movie and you go, how the fuck can I explain what I just saw? And it's a good explanation, but I don't think it actually, I don't think it holds up. I've only seen the movie once, but I think that most of the movie makes it pretty clear that the heroes are the heroes and that you are watching a superhero movie you're supposed to be excited when Thor shows up with his freaking axe that's on fire,
Matt,
and there's lightning
Matt,
coming out of him.
Matt, you're not hearing me at all. I'm not suggesting to you that what they're trying to say is that Thanos is a hero and we're wrong for liking the Avengers and cheering for the Avengers. What I'm saying is that from a narrative standpoint, that this movie is from his perspective. And that's, I would say, inarguable. The movie starts with his perspective. The movie starts with his kind of mission on the ship that takes up the Asgardians. And then for the rest of the movie, every major character beat is either about Thanos or involves him. And he is the character that goes through a change. He is the character that has to shed himself and has to go through trials and tribulations to get what he wants. That doesn't mean that we should be happy about it. I'm not saying that you should be like happy at the end of this. I'm not saying, but here's another difference between the way you and I are looking at this. Is you want this thing to be a deep dish pizza where you feel satisfied and happy at the end of it. But I'm saying that we get deep dish pizza every time we go see one of these movies. So every now and then, why don't we have some veggies where we can, you know, actually have something to chew on and...
Well, I tried them. I tried the veggie pizza, and I have to say I didn't really like it very much.
That's why you're in horrible shape and your cholesterol is high, and I think we need to talk about it.
I think I can see what was the gears that were turning in the heads of the people that made this movie. And I think I can see them going like, man, listen, we're really doing something different here. Like, we're trying it. I appreciate that level of ambition. I definitely think it betrays the 18 movies that come before it. With its ending, it doesn't spoil anything. It doesn't spoil anything for me. But I think that it is such a departure from the very genre that all the movies before it follow. And
yeah, the comic book genre where this exact thing happens like every other issue. That genre.
It's just the ending, dude. The only thing that is a departure.
That's not true. That's not true. This is a huge crossover event, and you've read enough of those now to know that, you know, and that they end on a dark note sometimes, and then there has to be a whole other crossover event to reset everything and make it all somewhat back to normal.
We can find a lot of examples in comics, but would you would acknowledge that there is not even remotely close to an ending like this from any of the preceding 18 films. It is a radical departure.
Disagree. All right, let me go on two levels here. So first, in the blockbuster genre, if you want to completely throw comic books out the window, obviously you mentioned Empire Strikes Back. Honor Majesty's Secret Service ends with James Bond's wife dying. The bad guy kills his wife and it ends. It's one of the best James Bond movies ever. And nobody had any idea that what would happen next. And the same goes for Empire Strikes Back. You didn't have George Lucas out there talking about how Return of the Jedi is going to be this and that and this. It was like, here's a new Star Wars movie. Oh, God, it ended really in a really sad way, and for the next 3 years, we're going to have to wonder what happens next. Like, that is a approach that these popular movies can choose to make every now and then. Now, on the Marvel level, Captain America, The First Avenger, is a movie that we've talked about how it ends on a cliffhanger. It ends on a plot cliffhanger. It doesn't end on an emotional or character cliffhanger. Steve Rogers undergoes a transformation, and thematically that movie wraps up nicely. But it completely introduces a bummer plot twist at the last second that is set up from the beginning, which this is the same as Infinity War. Literally, they spell out what the ending is going to be in the movie. But you knew that, okay, well, we're getting an Avengers movie next year, so I'm not that worried about Steve. Same exact thing as this. And then also with Civil War, which this is the best thing about this conversation, by the way, is that we are at polar opposites of where we were when we were reviewing Civil War, which ended on Captain America and Iron Man wanting to kill each other, and the Avengers dissolved, basically.
It didn't end exactly on that. What it ended on was that Steve Rogers was actually still out there running a secret Avengers team, which is
right.
Which
it ended. It ended with the seed of something new, which this movie ends with too. Like, we know that there's a reality altering weapon that this guy used, so there's no reason to believe that the heroes can't get that reality altering weapon.
And I do want to say this really quickly. Because of that, I would say that the thing at the end of this movie, the only thing that I would say is a completely ineffective moment in this movie that has just, I had absolutely zero emotional response to it. I was mostly just sitting there going like, okay, well, let me see what happens after this, was when after Thanos snaps his fingers and a bunch of characters crumble into dust, it feels like it's being played to be something really dramatic and extreme and to have intense emotions. And I would say the Tom Holland, the Spider-Man death scene is a good example of, I mean, the writing, I think, is clearly pointing to telling the audience, this is really bad. You should be really upset about this. It's really sad. But we, as you said, we have absolutely no reason to believe that any of these characters are gone for good. And in fact, I would say we know for a fact that a number of them, including Spider-Man, are definitely not dead. So,
yes, which is why this movie isn't a complete depressing, like, Lars von Trier ending. And
but
also,
I think,
like,
I think it's trying to be that. I think
it is that. It is that to the characters. I mean, that's why that performance is fantastic. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's like in a James Bond movie. It's like complaining that, well, I knew he was going to live the whole time. Well, yeah, he's James Bond. Like, we know that the heroes are going to win at the end. Like,
not. Here's the thing. The whole issue, and again, it's about setting expectations, which is not on me. Marvel created this.
It's setting expectations within the movie. Within the movie, the expectations have to be set within the movie, which they are.
They're not, these are not.
Don't talk to me about
anymore.
Publicity and marketing and press conferences.
It's not publicity. It's a franchise that is very uniquely built upon being episodic, as you just pointed out with all these other movies. And this is the only time they have given us an episode that doesn't resolve itself within the episode. And
that's not true. It does resolve itself.
Because there are so many things that are obviously set up in this movie. There are Chekhov's guns laying all over the damn place.
Iron Man 2 has Captain America's shield in it. There's your Chekhov's gun.
Egg. There's a difference between an Easter egg and a Chekhov's gun. So this movie has what feels like many phrases and themes introduced and. I'm not talking about just physical objects. I'm talking about real emotional setups that are clearly, I would say, pointing to a major payoff down the road that we don't get in this movie. And that's because there is a singular story being told here, but we're not going to get the payoff to a lot of the setups until we see another movie. And that's fine.
It's different
from Marvel. I think that's why I walked out of it feeling unsatisfied is because, and I never did to any other Marvel movie because this movie doesn't pay off its setups yet. And I have to sit with that for a while. And I don't think I'm going to feel satisfied about what was done in this movie. And I'm not going to say that I didn't have fun and that I didn't like it and that there weren't a lot of cool things in it. But I can't really grade it as a movie because I don't know how they're going to pay off so many of the things that were set up in this movie. And I won't know until next May.
Yeah,
There is going to be some finality to this. And that's
no,
not
there
me.
Won't. No, there won't. No, there won't.
There will not be finality
because it's Marvel. There never is finality. There is no status quo. You told me that in the Civil War podcast. And if you think that you know that the next movie is going to reset everything back to the way it was, and that'll be the finality, I think you're wrong. I think that every movie in this franchise has showed us that they are not afraid to change everything. And if Spider-Man comes back, yes, he probably almost, yes, he 100% will, but we don't know what it will be like. We don't know how this universe will change based on resetting everything, which is
We do not know. And we'll see. I mean, I can give you a much more informed opinion about this movie when I see the second half of it next year. But I can't judge the storytelling decisions they made because I don't know how they resolve and I don't know what they were intended to signal to us yet because I haven't seen what they do. But
I hope that you can finally go back and grade Captain America First Avenger now that you know what happens.
I do know what happens in that story. And
no, you don't. At the end, he wakes up in the modern day, and it's a complete inversion of everything that you've seen before it. And you had to wait till the only reason you didn't freak out about it is because you knew Avengers was coming out the next year, and you're like, oh, okay.
But again, look, this franchise, as some people have said this as a criticism. I don't necessarily see it that way. This franchise is a lot more like a TV series than it is like a series of movies. I think this is by far the ultimate expression of that because this is a cliffhanger season finale that this movie could not exist if there wasn't a second half to it. And I don't really think would there have been things that didn't that got teased that we would have been disappointed to never see pay off in other movies? Yes, but we would have gotten what felt like a satisfying and complete story in the other ones. And that's what differentiates this movie is that it really, truly should have been it properly labeled Infinity War Part 1. And the only reason I feel any disappointment is because I was led to believe that it was not just a first half of something larger. So
that's, you got worked. You got worked by people that make money for a living.
I agree. I definitely got worked by Marvel. I think they calculated that they would make more money if people didn't think this was part one of a two-part thing, and I think it worked. And I'm glad they made money because I love these movies and I hope they keep making them forever. I definitely think that I'm a little justified in feeling somewhat unsatisfied by the ending, but
I'm not telling you how to feel.
Think,
you can feel
I don't
how
think most
like.
People, I don't think, I doubt most people feel that way because I've seen a lot of people and look, the only issue I take with anybody's response to this movie are some of the fans that I've seen out there talking about how gutted they are by the ending of the movie and, you know, how emotionally wrenching it was to see all those characters fade into dust. There's no way you can actually
That doesn't mean that it's not painful in the moment for the people that have invested themselves in these characters. You're acting like these are just like chess pieces in you know, your fantasy football or something. I don't know sports. You're acting like these are just like chess pieces on a board, but no, the way that they shoot this and the way they tell the story is there's an emotional reality in the moment, and you're allowing that emotional reality of the moment to be completely overridden by some bullshit that you saw at Comic-Con.
No, listen, because actually I would say there was some impact when Loki died for me, because I bought it, and I think look, they might bring him back, I don't know, but I think that the way it was played and when it happens in the movie and the circumstances about it sold me on it. I am firmly unsold on all of the crumbly dust deaths. I don't believe any of them will matter at all. And it's not my fault that I don't believe them because I live in the world that these Marvel movies have permeated so thoroughly, and I can be postmodern enough to not have a problem with a movie being simultaneously a story, a legitimate story being told, and a commercial for a brand. I can be okay with that. I can live with it, and it doesn't really. I'm not gonna get all like on my high horse about it. It's fine, but I think the people telling the story, if they're telling the story in this format, I think they probably have to go into it recognizing what they can and can't sell the audience on because of the nature of what they've done. So to me, I think that's why those moments lack any impact for me. And many, many other Marvel movies have had a lot greater impact for me with what happens in them. I legitimately have cried watching some of these movies before, even rewatching them. So it's not that I just view them as chess pieces. I get invested in the characters, but I can't pretend like I don't know that Black Panther's not going to be dead.
Dude, nobody's asking you to. Like, nobody is saying that you have to believe that James Bond is going to get his crotch lasered by the laser thing in Goldfinger. Nobody is saying that you have to, that has to permeate your soul, you know, where you believe that's going to happen. The most important thing is that what's happening to the characters and where the characters find themselves. And in this, that is as real to them as anything else. But going back, I mean, from the moment the movie started and we saw that basically everybody at the end of Thor Ragnarok, which was a very fun movie that I love, was dead, I immediately started thinking emotionally dealing with that and thinking, well, you know what? It's the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, I don't know where this is all leading. And a lot of this, I can't believe everything I see. So under that assumption, that took me through the rest of the movie. So every time anybody died, I was like, okay, I don't buy that entirely, because the dude turned Drax into noodles. You know, it's like, yeah, I think if we can accept that that's the case there, then we can accept that nobody here is actually asking us to walk out of this theater and assume that this is the last Avengers movie ever. And also, I mean, going back to I knew that another Avengers movie is going to come out next year, and there's no reason to believe that this is going to end nicely and tidily, and then they're just going to start over with, oh, okay, next year the Avengers are facing Kang the Conqueror. You know, it's like, no, I know that Thanos is going to be sticking around somehow or another, and the fact that once I started putting the pieces together and seeing that, wow, I'm feeling more about Thanos than I feel about most Marvel characters. And wow, he is really an active character. Oh my God, he's the lead character, because Tony kind of gets relegated to a supporting role. Cap gets relegated to a supporting role. And over the course of the movie, Thanos does become the lead character. And by that point, I realize that, okay, this is going to go somewhere where it's going to be bleak and it's going to be dark. And you know what? Again, out of 18 movies, I don't want all these movies to be the same. And again, I think that Civil War left you with the knowledge that Bucky strangled Tony Stark's mom with his bare hands. And that's upsetting. And then the villain wanted to kill himself. That's upsetting. So there have been examples in this franchise of ending it on a bummer. And ending it on, like, man, I like that, but I really wish I knew what happened next, because it's frustrating to leave this kind of open-ended question. I think that this is the exact same thing. There's no difference.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. But I think I am hopeful that I can get around to where you are with it before next May, but I'm doubtful that I will. I have always felt very satisfied at the end of every Marvel movie, and I did not feel that way walking away from this one. But by the ending, I definitely am satisfied with the 2.5 hours that I spent in the theater, and I had a great time. But I wish I felt the same way that I usually feel walking out of a Marvel movie. And I don't think I'm the only person, although I would guess that I'm a minority opinion on this. But maybe I'll come around by next May.
I mean, I'll leave it at this. After 10 years of hearing people complain about how these movies don't have great villains and how Marvel has a villain problem, finally we have a movie that it's a movie that's about their best villain, it's also one of the best characters that they put on screen. So at the end of the day, the strength of Thanos kind of carries this through to me. We haven't talked about any of the awesome stuff in this movie, but I'll end with It starts with Thanos and the Hulk having like a fist fight.
Thanos is awesome. Great, and it's a good performance, and it's well rendered. It is so miles away from the just absolute travesty BS Kieran Hines demon villain from Justice League. It's not even funny. Those two franchises have never been further apart than they are right now.
Yeah, and I mean, honest, what I will say, his henchmen definitely. Those are the Justice League, Ciaran Hines,
yes.
Steppenwolf.
Yes.
They gave me that vibe. But yep. No, Thanos in general, I think, is a great character. And yeah, next time you go see it, which I know you're going to see this movie another 20 times.
Oh, I will.
Try to look at it as a Thanos movie and see if that does anything for you.
We'll see if that changes it.
For Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.